With Amex Platinum, you can enjoy access to dedicated card member entrances at select events, because skipping the line makes you the star of game day. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex. Card member entrance access not limited to Amex Platinum card.
From Studio 2 at the worldwide headquarters of ESPN and the HD studio in Atlanta, Georgia, this is Freddie and Harry.
Would you rather have a $100 million career or be a Super Bowl champion? But you don't know the dollar amount you make as a Super Bowl champion. Look at that. Devin Kane's doing the dollar sign. Shannon's actually thinking about it. Devin Kane, our AP, Shannon Penn, our producer. You played.
Listen.
Dev, hold on. Give me a second. Give me a second first, Dev.
But you're actually having to think about it.
You're contemplating this. I know my answer right now.
You know where I live at, right? I live in Atlanta. Give me that $100 mil, baby. We're going to go celebrate. We're going to go celebrate at Magic City Mondays. That's what we're going to go do.
Never lose.
give me a bowl of them limber pepper lose. We're going to go celebrate. I don't know if my wife would allow me not to make that decision.
This is Freddie and Harry.
Listen, I appreciate and I respect the integrity of golf, except when $2.5 million is on the line. Then all that uptight, haughty, have-to-tell-the-truth stuff out the window. Put it in my bank account. Sahith Theegala, come on, man. Freddie and Harry on ESPN Radio, ESPN App, Sirius XM Channel 80. And tune in. We're presented by Progressive Insurance with Rob Stats Guerrera. I'm Ken LaVica. Follow Stats on Twitter, at Stats on Fire. I am at KLV Says. Join us in the conversation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. 1-888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. Third round tour championship, PGA Tour, Sahith Theegala. And this is something cameras didn't catch. This is something tour officials didn't catch. Sahith Theegala, as he was taking a practice shot in a bunker, said he moved a couple of grains of sand that would have improved his lie. And he issued a 2-stroke penalty against himself, and it cost him $2.5 million because ultimately it cost him second place. And it goes to show you, and parents, if your kids are listening, cover their ears. Sometimes honesty doesn't pay. When in sports, is cheating worked out for you? I told the story, flag football, 7-8 years ago with my friends. Big game. Needed this game to make the postseason. I make with defenders blanketed all over me, an over-the-shoulder catch, back of the end zone. The official calls a touchdown. We celebrate. We go crazy. I'll admit right now, Stats, I trapped it. I trapped it. I didn't have my hands under it. And you know what? I wouldn't take it back for anything. The amount of adrenaline that I felt, the amount of joy and glory that I felt at that moment, I have no regrets, Stats. Not a single regret there.
I ain't mad at you. I would have done the same thing. Absolutely. Look, yeah. How many times in our life, let's face it, are we going to have a chance to achieve glory, right? I'm not letting that opportunity pass me by.
Absolutely not. Extremely well said. When in sports is cheating worked out for you? 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. 888-729-3776. Let's go to the Pacific Northwest, Seattle. And that's where we have Barry here on ESPN Radio. Hey, Barry.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good. So 13-year-olds, all-stars, championship game for District 8. I'm bases loaded, up to bat. I swing and miss. Catcher misses the ball. The umpire calls it a foul ball. I look over at my buddy on deck and give him a wink. Next pitch, I hit a bases loaded triple to win the game or to send it into the next inning. And, never forget it.
Barry, I love it. See, and that's great, because then if you start thinking about it more and more and more, you just believe in everything that your mind tells you happened, what happened there. So I didn't, I made contact with that, but it's like that sportsmanship commercial that we see every single year, Stats, where it's the young high school basketball player, and he's the last one to touch it before it goes out of bounds, and he says, coach, that's out on me. If I was the coach, I'd be like, what are you doing, man? Competitive advantage. Come on. We're in a big game here. Look at all the fans and look at all your parents in the stands. They're expecting you to win. Come on. Come on. Am I giving a terrible message to the kids, by the way, right now? Because that commercial drives me absolutely insane.
I'm a parent of two. I'm right on board with you. And in fact, I don't even think Barry did anything wrong. Barry didn't cheat. It's not his fault the umpire didn't see the play clearly.
1,000% right. 1,000% right. Jason is in Syracuse on Freddie and Harry on ESPN Radio. Hi, Jason.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So in softball a couple years ago, it wasn't a huge game or anything, but we were down and a couple runners on base, two outs. I was playing first base. The guy short hopped the throw. I grabbed the throw. I reached back. It appeared I tagged the guy. I didn't. Umpire called him out. I knew he was safe. Guy appealed. He lost his appeal. I just covered my mouth with my glove and started laughing and just took it.
And that's the thing. And I'm sure after the game, that beer tasted great, that celebratory beer, and you didn't have to say anything. And now it's good that you got it off your chest now, Jason. But in the moment, I mean, stats, you got to pick up the dub in that spot. It's about the W in that spot.
Look, it's not my job to officiate the game, okay? I'm just here to play the game. We all have to follow the rules of the umpires and the referees and just let that be.
Yeah, it's that simple. And it's not a character flaw, but in Sahith Theegala's case, it's a major dent to the wallet. $2.5 million. Come on, Sahith. We would have totally understood. You didn't have to tell the PGA Tour about your grains of sand. Week one of the NFL season. Stats, it's coming up. It's Thursday night. It's going to be an AFC Championship game rematch. It's going to be the Chiefs, and it's going to be the Ravens from Arrowhead. This is Freddie and Harry on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and tune in with Rob Stats Guerrera. I'm Ken LaVica. Lamar Jackson asked about this game, and he's got the R word on his mind.
Any game I play, and I feel like it's a revenge game, so I'm not just going to look at this game like a revenge game. Anybody we play, no matter if we beat them or lost to them prior previous years, I just want to win.
Revenge game. Lamar Jackson says this is a revenge game. I haven't once looked at it as a revenge game, Lamar Jackson trying to get revenge on the Kansas City Chiefs. But I look at its stats as a game where the Ravens can once again remind us that they might be the most legit contender to find a way to get around Patrick Mahomes, maybe the biggest threat to a three-peat for the Kansas City Chiefs. That's the way I look at it. This is about setting a base, not getting revenge.
It's about what the Ravens do in the playoffs. They could win this game 100-0, and people would still say, it doesn't matter, we don't care, we need to see Lamar do it in the playoffs. And, you know, we tend to forget some of the details, right? We remember, hey, the Ravens lost the AFC Championship game, the Chiefs won, they won the Super Bowl, great. Zay Flowers fumbles the ball on the one-yard line
right
on the first play of the fourth quarter. That would have made it a three-point game with the entire fourth quarter to play. Like, that entire rest of the game is going to play out differently if he doesn't fumble on the one-yard line. So, you know, I think we tend to forget about the little details. Like, that's how close this game was. So I want to see the Ravens come out, play well. And this is going to be a game that has an impact on the seeding. Later in the year, we're going to be talking about way back in week one, the Ravens beat the Chiefs, so they have the tiebreaker for the number one seed. It's going to matter, even though it's the first game on the schedule.
The Lamar Jackson conversation is always one that frustrates me the most because it's constantly, well, he's got to get it done in the playoffs. He's got to get it done in the playoffs. Well, Lamar has started to get it done in the playoffs. It's not like he's winless. It's not like he's been one constant faceplant in the postseason. Has he made it to a Super Bowl? No. But he was in the whole AFC Championship game last year. So every year it's got to get it done in the playoffs. So he wins a wild card game. Then it's, all right, no, that's not enough. He's got to win in the playoffs. Okay, well, he does, and he gets to the division round. No, not enough. He's got to get to the AFC title game. So he gets to the AFC title game. And listen, I know that he's a two-time MVP, and I understand that there's the criticism that he has not been able to lead his team to the Super Bowl. But here's the major X factor with all of this. That guy who wears a red shirt with a 15 on it in Kansas City. So you can criticize Lamar Jackson all you want, and there's enough to criticize there, and he's been inconsistent in the postseason, but he's not winless. And his team has been in a position one win away from going to the Super Bowl. Josh Allen should get the same type of criticism then, because he also couldn't maneuver around the guy in red with number 15 on his chest and on his back. I just think sometimes in this era of football, and listen, we're at fault. We're sports talkers. It's all about storylines. It's all about rings. It's all about what do you do when the games matter most. But you got to keep in mind, you have our generation's best quarterback, our best post-Tom Brady quarterback, and a guy who is arguably better than Tom Brady at the end of Tom Brady's career, who's dominating the league now, and he's in the same conference. So I just think sometimes we go a little too tough on Lamar and we don't bring the full context to this conversation.
Every loss is not a character flaw. It's not like sometimes you just get beat by somebody better. It's not just like, oh, well, you're terrible and you lack in this, this, and this area, and that's why you didn't get it done. No, sometimes the other guy's just better, and sometimes your guy fumbles on the 1-inch line. Like, we don't like to say that because it's not interesting and it doesn't make for interesting segments, right, on TV, on the radio, but sometimes that's the reality of the situation.
Yeah, no doubt. And I am curious, though, what the Derrick Henry addition is going to mean for the Baltimore Ravens. Now, this is a Ravens team that led the league in rushing already a year ago. You have a guy in Derrick Henry who was up over 1,200 rushing yards last season. And so it's going to help protect Lamar's body a little bit, though. When Lamar gets out of the pocket, you never quite know when exactly Lamar is going to get out of the pocket, and he uses that to extend an awful lot. But if you have the dynamic of Derrick Henry churning out yards, explosive runs, physical style, and then Lamar back there, that's got to count for something, right? Like, you've got to at least think to yourself, and they've had some good tailbacks there, good bruising tailbacks in Baltimore, but this is different. This is next level, and this guy still has some juice. He's got some gas left in the tank. There's a dynamic there that could make the Ravens, in a postseason situation, a little bit more dynamic because of the big dude lining up behind Lamar Jackson. I do think he adds a lot to this offense.
And if there's one thing we know, is that the Ravens are not going to be afraid to get creative with how they use it, right? This is a team that embraced all the things that Lamar Jackson can do on the ground immediately. Can you imagine if they ran the option and you have to, as a defender, you have got Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry coming at you? Right. That's impossible to tackle because you can't ever get a big hit on him. And another guy that will flat out just steamroll you as he runs to the end zone. I think you're going to see a lot of creativity from Baltimore this year.
And then there's the Chiefs. And it was several weeks ago when on Sportsman, like 6 to 10 a.m. weekdays here on ESPN Radio, Chris Canty said that this might be the most complete version of the Kansas City Chiefs that we have seen in this championship era. It's if you're not a fan of the Chiefs, it's nauseating to think about. I can't disagree with Chris Canty just because there's no way the receiving core, based on additions and based on subtractions, the receiving core is not going to be nearly as ineffective as it was last year. And Patrick Mahomes still found a way, even with minimal yards per catch, to drag that team through the playoffs and into the Super Bowl and end up winning the Super Bowl. But it was that defense last year that really saved the day. And that's without Chris Jones for the first game of the season. Prolonged holdout, all that drama came in, made an immediate impact. Now, I get it. You don't have Snead anymore. He's off to Tennessee. I know that that's a little bit of a hit to the secondary. That said, if this resembles anything in the same universe of what the Chiefs defense was a year ago, yeah, this might be the most balance the offense and defense has had in the Patrick Mahomes era, and that's terrifying in and of itself.
It's at the point where I'm basically just appealing to the football gods, right? I'm appealing to the football gods. Just take this away from them, please. I can't take it anymore. I've watched my team lose two Super Bowls to these guys. And here's the other thing. You know, I said in a break, oh, you know, it's football season because I got the injury report sent to my email box.
Yeah.
I feel like it's always like this with the Chiefs. Hollywood Brown didn't practice. Everybody else on the 53 was a full participant. in practice. Like, they're always healthy. None of the weird stuff that happens to other teams has happened to the Chiefs in this Mahomes era. I mean, the 49ers, for God's sake, lost Dre Greenlaw running onto the field in the Super Bowl. He pops his Achilles. They had a defensive coach pop his Achilles on the sideline in the same game. Like, none of the weirdness of football has happened to the Chiefs, and it needs to. I can't take any more Chiefs winning.
And the Chiefs, we saw them lose at home to the Lions to start last year. And what happened? The Chiefs still won the Super Bowl. So
right.
Even like you said, even if the Ravens win by 30 on Thursday night, it doesn't mean anything. It just legitimately does not mean anything. There's a lot after Thursday of week one juicy storylines to dive into and bite into. And we're about to do it. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Get a business insurance quote online in as little as 6 minutes. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com.
Only 3 days until the NFL's opening night.
We get a chance to do it 3 times in a row.
The countdown to kickoff rolls on.
How do you get excited for that, baby?
Right here on ESPN Radio.
With Rob Stats Guerrero, I'm Ken Lavica, filling in for Freddie and Harry here on ESPN Radio. NFL Week 1, because it's Monday. It's officially week one of the NFL season. What storylines are we keyed in on most? Well, we're about to tell you. We both have three of them. Stats, go ahead and give us number one.
Number one.
I'm going to go to Sunday night, actually. I'm going to go to Rams-Lions. There are a ton of playoff rematches in week one that are going to have seeding implications later in the year. This is one of them. Don't forget, the Lions ended the Rams season in the wild card round last year. You know, the Lions are trying to establish themselves as a power in the NFC. Nobody is criticizing the Lions for blowing the biggest lead in the history of the NFC Championship game. No one's criticizing them at all. They're getting praise. What a great year. It was awesome. They have to climb the mountain just as much as the 49ers do. And the Rams are not going to be easy. They're going to want revenge. They're going to say, hey, we think we can win the NFC West. I think Rams-Lions in week one is incredibly juicy.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I, though, would push back on those who want to try and tell me the Packers are going to leapfrog the Lions in that NFC North. I'm not ready to go there. I'm still a big believer in the Detroit Lions. But, Dan Campbell, could we at least, I'm all for aggressiveness, can we get a little bit conservative when it makes sense? Just a little bit conservative on fourth downs, okay? My first storyline NFL Week 1, I am fascinated. I mean absolutely locked in on how much leash Mike Tomlin is going to give Russell Wilson. It seemed like this quarterback decision, it might have been preordained that he was always going to go with the veteran over Justin Fields, okay, just because it made the most sense to do that because it would be easier to transition to Justin Fields. But this was always going to be the lesser of two evils. And both guys were either below average to atrocious in the preseason. I am bullish. I am high on the Atlanta Falcons, especially after Terry Fontenot, and I'm a big believer. I've got my Terry Fontenot shirt. I'm ready to go. Aggressive, building up the defense, filling holes that desperately needed to be. You go and you get Judon. You go and you pick up Justin Simmons. I think the Falcons are going to give the Steelers fits, and I'll make this prediction right now, Stats. If you get to the late third quarter, early fourth quarter, week one, the Steelers can't move the ball. They're down a couple of scores in Atlanta. You might see Justin Fields inserted into the game in week one for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm locked in on that one. That's one of my big storylines. It is Freddie and Harry here on ESPN Radio. Rob Stats Guerrero, I'm Ken Lavica. Week one storylines we're most locked in on. Stats, let's get to your second.
Number two.
I'm going to Monday Night Football this time. Lots of drama on both sides of this one. Jets, Niners. The Jets are trying to establish themselves, right? Like, we're the big boys in the AFC. We can compete with these guys. They have been waiting to unwrap the Aaron Rodgers Christmas present since four snaps into last season when he went down, tackled by Leonard Floyd, who coincidentally now plays for the 49ers. But the Jets are trying to prove that, hey, this is going to work. We rearranged our whole organization for this, and we're going to go out and we're going to beat the defending NFC champions in their house on Monday Night Football. And meanwhile, the Niners, I mean, my goodness, let alone their own drama with Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams, who, by the way, is still unsigned as we get into the official prep for week one. Throw on top of that the tragic and unfortunate story about Ricky Pearsall getting shot over the weekend. They have had an eventful offseason, which is crazy because none of it has included a quarterback drama. So there is a ton going on in that Monday night matchup.
Well, that quarterback drama is coming next offseason. By the way, when the schedule came out and we looked at Monday night 49ers-Jets, we were like, wow. You have Hassan Reddick going against Trent Williams.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be hot. And now, the way things currently look, you're going to have Will McDonald in his second year for the Jets on the edge against backup left tackle Jalen Moore. Not as juicy, Stats. Not as juicy.
Gulp.
For which one? The Jets or the Niners?
Yes.
Freddie and Harry here on ESPN Radio. My next storyline, week one, that I can't wait to see, C.J. Stroud versus Anthony Richardson, round one and a half. You remember last year, this was the game that Anthony Richardson got injured in. Gardner Minshew came in and led the Colts to the win over the Texans. This is before we saw C.J. Stroud in his final rookie form that accounted for over 4,000 yards, and he was absolutely sensational. They get going week one. Anthony Richardson, who was going to be the wizard of quarterbacks for the Colts, missed most of last season. C.J. Stroud within the division came, bowled his way in, and now he's the standard for young quarterbacks in the league. This is hopefully going to be our first time seeing both of them go toe-to-toe in one full NFL game, and it could tell a lot about what that division is going to look like in 2024.
I have no idea how Anthony Richardson became a phenom after like four games, but okay, sure. Like, I don't understand why people are so high on him. To me, he's got to prove it. C.J. Stroud has proven it. So I expect the Texans to whoop up on the Colts in that game, to be honest with you.
We've gone through two storylines that we are engaged in. NFL Week 1, can't wait to see how they play out. How about a third for both of us? Stats, you're on the clock.
Number three.
Cowboys-Browns, big voice, get out of my way. Speaking of quarterback drama, Dak Prescott, it doesn't get much more drama. He still doesn't have a contract. You can't. There is no more drama than you could have than what is currently going on in Dallas right now. They're going up against a Browns team that was dominant defensively at home. They allowed eight passing touchdowns at home last year. They had nine interceptions. That's how good this Browns defense was at home. And if the Browns go in there and shut down Dak Prescott, the drama and the noise at Dallas is only going to increase. It's going to be a lot of fun if Dallas loses that game for me as a 49ers fan.
I'm curious. We haven't seen him since November. What is Deshaun Watson going to look like in this game?
True.
He's been locked away, and nobody's seen him throw a pass. What's he going to look like against the Cowboys? Here's my third storyline in week one, Stats. Raiders, Chargers. We're going to call this the other guy bowl in the NFC West. You know the Chiefs are going to win the division, okay? I actually like, not long term, but I like for this season, Gardner Minshew, who just finds ways to make his team competitive. Is he a championship quarterback? Uh-uh. But are his teams competitive? Yeah. I like him as the quarterback for the Raiders. You've upgraded from a year ago, and you won some games with that once Antonio Pierce took over. Then there's the Chargers, and there's Jim Harbaugh, and there's the marriage now with Justin Herbert with an offensive coordinator that's known for running the ball and establishing the ground game. An interesting dynamic there with the Chargers. So when you look at this other guy bowl, it's the AFC West team that maybe could sneak in with the Chiefs as a second playoff side in the AFC. I'm curious to see where the Raiders and Chargers go. And that is our NFL Week 1 storylines that Rob Stats Guerrera and myself, Ken Lavica, are paying attention to with the NFL getting underway Thursday night with the Chiefs and the Ravens. Coming up, does Jalen Hurts need to play like an MVP for the Eagles to have a big season? That's Rob Stats Guerrera. I'm Ken Lavica, in for Freddie and Harry on ESPN Radio.
The football season never ends.
We ain't done yet.
Camp to camp.
When you go through the offseason that I've been through, you want to do it again.
Team to team.
When you knock us down, we're going to get up.
Unbelievable!
The Super Bowl is a goal.
I've been away for too long.
The countdown rolls on right here on ESPN Radio.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
Bombas makes the most comfortable socks, underwear, and T-shirts.
Warning, Bombas are so absurdly comfortable you may throw out all your other clothes.
Sorry, do we legally have to say that?
No, this is just how I talk, and I really love my Bombas.
They do feel that good, and they do good, too. One item purchased equals one item donated.
To feel good and do good, go to bombas.com/ESPN pod and use code ESPNPod for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ESPNPod and use code ESPNPod at checkout.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like UNTUCKit or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. On the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout UNTUCKit uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/network.
Finding the right employee for your company is tough. One wrong hire can be a major setback. You're not alone if you face this. A recent survey by Robert Half shows nearly half of hiring managers readily admit to making a bad hire. Luckily, there's a solution. With Robert Half's specialized recruiter's experience, combined with our award-winning AI, you can have the right skilled professional in place quickly. We understand what it takes to build winning teams because at Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
The countdown to kickoff rolls on.
Touchdown!
Oh,
baby. Give me everything you got!
Only 3 days until the NFL's opening night.
Time for some football, baby!
The countdown rolls on right here on ESPN Radio. This is Freddie and Harry on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app.
For Philadelphia Eagles, more the team that won the NFC then started the following year 10-1, or the team that completely fell apart in the final 6 weeks after that and couldn't get along with one another? There's a lot to find out about the Eagles, and we'll find out Friday when they head to Brazil, Sao Paulo, to take on the Packers. Freddie and Harry on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and tune in. That is Rob Stats Guerrera. I am Ken Lavica, and we are presented by Progressive Insurance. As always, join the conversation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776, 888-729-3776. Stats, the last we saw of the Philadelphia Eagles, they went to Tampa, and they got their brains beaten in, much like the previous month and a half, where they couldn't stop anybody, and Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni were apparently cold-shouldering one another. And the major conversation has been, can head coach and quarterback coexist? Can they get themselves back to what made everything so successful, surprisingly, 2 years ago, and how dominant things were through October and into November last year? That's been the talk of the entire preseason for the Eagles, and Nick Sirianni on his quarterback saying, hey, he's ready to go.
Ever since I've been here, Jalen's been all win, trying to do everything he can do to win. So he's done everything he can do to help this football team win and put every bit of his heart and soul into it.
All right, so stats. The Eagles obviously have everything they need to potentially get back to the Super Bowl. I just need to see cohesiveness. And now I suppose you've got to see it all the way through, because at 10-1 last year, it looked like they got it figured out. If they slide a little bit, it's okay. Look at that cushion. We know what they're capable of. But then it just kept sliding and sliding and sliding, and then it fell over a cliff, and then like a cartoon, it crashed into the ground, and you had the explosion, and then that was it. The Eagles were completely dead after that. Anytime you have issue with head coach and quarterback, it makes you question things. This is maybe the most question mark fascinating team in all of the NFL going into the season.
Yeah, I mean, Nick Sirianni, if that's true about Jalen Hurts, why couldn't you stand him last year? If he was doing everything he could to be all in, what was the problem? You know, that's what I don't understand. I think that this game is fascinating because both teams are going to talk about the second half of last year, right? The Eagles are going to say, don't pay any attention to when we lost 5 out of the last 6 in the regular season and got stomped in the playoffs. We're the team we saw early. Meanwhile, the Packers are going to say, don't pay attention to everything that happened in the first half of the season. Look at the second half of the season when Jordan Love threw like 20 touchdowns and 2 interceptions down the stretch and then went to Dallas and stomped all over the Cowboys in the playoffs. It is hilarious to me that both teams are going to make that argument. I have way more faith in the Packers than I do the Eagles. The fact that Nick Sirianni crumbled when their head of security got kicked off the sidelines after the 49ers game, that's a huge red flag to me. And the Eagles basically got rid of everybody else except Nick Sirianni, right? New coordinators, everything. They were basically saying it was everybody else's fault except Nick Sirianni. Well, now we're going to find out.
It's objectively weird what you brought up, that took place, because as soon as that happened, the Eagles head of security no longer allowed to be on the sideline. Nick Sirianni, it's like he lost his powers. He lost his edge. It's really, really bizarre. And this is not just football. I think this is any walk of life, any business, any corporation you work for. If you have issues with the boss, if you have issues with the CEO or the regional manager, whoever it is, it's really hard for said person in power to just wake up one day and say, ah, I've been self-introspective. I've changed. It's difficult if you're working at a Fortune 500 company or a flower shop, let alone an NFL locker room where alpha males run rampant, right? So when I have Nick Sirianni, who made sure that through various reports, people knew that he worked on himself, right? And he understood that he was a big part of the problem between him and Jalen Hurts. And he's brought in someone to call the plays and work with Jalen Hurts and be more of a personable coach, more of a hands-off leader. I don't know if I buy it, because if there's anything I know about powerful people that are used to getting their way, all it takes is one thing to go sideways before they get the urge again to come in and take hold and make sure they're the ones once again making the decisions to try and save the day. I will believe that Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts can do this thing together when I see it, because they've had multiple opportunities to get lovey and to declare that they're tight and they're close and they're ready to go into battle with one another throughout camp. And you know what hasn't happened? Them actually saying that. It is clear to me that there's still some residual stuff there that winning might fix, but stats, what if the winning doesn't come? And that's where the Philadelphia Eagles season really lies in the balance.
If the winning doesn't come, it's going to get ugly early. But even if the winning does come, I will still have this feeling of like, when is the dam going to break? Remember, they were 10-1 last year. They were coming off 3 straight wins. They were coming off a win over Dallas. Then they went to Kansas City and beat the Chiefs. And then they beat the Bills in overtime, 37-34 to go to 10-1, and then the big bad 49ers came in, you know, with all the stuff leading up to that game, how the 49ers were so upset because of what happened in the NFC Championship game, and the Eagles didn't feel like they got the credit that they should have gotten for winning that game, and Niners go in there and absolutely blow the doors off them, 42-19, and then the dam broke, and all that... The winning wasn't there to sort of cover up the cracks anymore, and it just crumbled for Philadelphia. So even if they win their first game or first two games, I just feel like when the adversity comes, are they going to be strong enough to withstand it? And nothing that we've seen so far in the Jalen Hurts-Nick Sirianni relationship tells us that it will.
I do believe that Vic Fangio is going to help shore up that defense. As a South Florida guy, I don't love that it appeared Vic Fangio just had one foot out the door the final month of the season or so. He was real quick to get out of Miami and head right to Philadelphia. But it doesn't change the fact that even with an injured defense, the defense put up numbers last year for the Dolphins. The Eagles were the second-to-last pass defense in the league last year. I mean, they were objectively atrocious. So Vic Fangio is going to help that. And then on the offensive side of the ball, Saquon Barkley comes in now. And, man, does he have a chance to be incredible paired with Jalen Hurts. But I never know if Saquon Barkley is going to be able to stay on the field. I mean, Stats, we're talking about a guy who's missed 25 games in the 6 years of his career. Is Saquon Barkley an incredible talent? Absolutely. Would the Giants be better served having him? Probably. Do the Eagles make a great play going and getting him? Yeah, but how many games is he going to play for you? Because if he does this half a season thing, that's not going to help anybody at all with the Eagles, and that's where you start to maybe think, do they have enough firepower to stay on top of the Cowboys?
I completely agree. I think putting your eggs in the Saquon basket is risky. You know, a lot of people keep pointing to Christian McCaffrey. To say that Saquon Barkley is going to have a Christian McCaffrey impact with the 49ers is ridiculous, and it's not meant as a slight to Saquon. It's meant because Christian McCaffrey has been incredible for the 49ers. More incredible than anything he's done is the fact that he hasn't missed a game for them. He's been healthy enough to play. That's the incredible thing. I can't see lightning striking twice, quite honestly. I just don't see it. I think he'll be productive when he plays, but I don't know how long he's going to be able to get out there. And if he's not there, then you just pile more on top of the shoulders of Jalen Hurts.
And real quick, I just want to ask you, from a Packers perspective in this one, with the NFC North, who's closer in terms of where they are right now in the pantheon of that division? The Packers to the Lions or the Bears to the Packers? Say they're 1, 2, 3, okay? Lions, Packers, and Bears. Are the Packers closer to the Lions or are the Bears closer to the Packers in that division?
Packers are closer to the Lions, without question. Look, Caleb Williams looks cool, had some cool plays in the preseason. We don't know anything about him. He could be terrible. Like, we are acting like he's going to be the next Patrick Mahomes. And I'm not saying he's not, but all I'm saying is a couple of cool throws in the preseason doesn't tell us anything. I need to see it before I believe it. The Lions and the Packers are way closer together than the Packers and the Bears.
The 49ers have had an eventful offseason, to say the least. Can they get back to the Super Bowl? They're going to have to overcome some things. When I think 49ers and all my 49ers questions, they're all deferred to Rob Stats Guerrera. We're going to let Stats discuss the 49ers and their prospects for 2024 when we come back. Freddie and Harry off on this Labor Day with Rob Stats Guerrera. I'm Ken Lavica, and it is ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Summertime.
The NFL to college football.
We are in heavy duty countdown mode.
Electricity, the atmosphere.
Unbelievable!
The countdown rolls on ESPN Radio.
BetMGM presents Upping the Action with Jamie Foxx.
It's basketball season, baby. When you're playing with BetMGM, you don't need to be 7 feet tall with a 7 foot wingspan to get into the action. Oh, you betting with the big boys now. I'm talking over points, under assists, and exact rebounds all day. Fade away jumper from the left wing, hitting nothing but net type of vibe. This basketball season, download the BetMGM app.
And get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. U.S. promotional offers not available in Nevada, New York, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. or New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. Arizona called 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Massachusetts 1-800-327-5050. Iowa 1-800-BETS-OFF. Puerto Rico called 1-800-981-0023. West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
In the world of football, one name stands above the rest. Nick Saban, a legend known for building dynasties on the gridiron. And in the world of interior paint, Bear Dynasty is a legend in its own right. It's the best of Bear, with everything you want in a paint, all in one can. And it's available exclusively at the Home Depot. Just like Nick Saban's powerhouse defense, Bear Dynasty defends your walls with unmatched stain repellency and scuff resistance. And with one coat coverage, you'll be able to complete your painting project and bask in your team's colors before kickoff. Defend your walls and your game time with Bear Dynasty interior paint at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Valid only when tinted to colors from the Bear Dynasty and Marquee Interior One Coat Hide Color Collection.
This is Freddie and Harry on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app.
Ooh. Tell me when to go.
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 The defending NFC champions have been through it this offseason. Freddie and Harry on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and tune in. Labor Day edition of Freddie and Harry. Well, without Freddie and Harry, that's Rob Sats-Guerrera. I'm Ken LaVica. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. The sharpest 49ers mind I know happens to be the man that I have spent the last couple of hours with, Rob Sats-Guerrera. And I just thought, Stats, that this would be a good time to touch on what the state of this team is, because man, it's just one thing after another. First and foremost, I'm not, like, full disclosure, I'm not the most overly religious person, okay? But what Ricky Pearsall has been through, the first round pick being shot in what appears to be an attempted robbery in San Francisco after an autograph signing, where the bullet goes through his chest. Through his chest, he's already out of the hospital. And let me read you this headline at ESPN.com. Wide receiver Pearsall out at least four games after being shot. Out at least four games after being shot. Just think about that. Through his chest. Again, I'm not the most religious person, but it's the type of thing that if you go through that, it certainly makes you believe that miracles can happen, right?
It is an incredible story. This story could have been way, way different. And it sounds weird to say this, and I don't mean to minimize it, but this is sort of the best case scenario. Other than the bullet missing Pearsall, he was in the hospital for less than 24 hours. The bullet did not hit any major organs, right? Heart, lungs, spine, nothing like that. He didn't even require surgery. He's already out of the hospital. It was unbelievable. And the details in this case are incredible. If you'll allow me just a quick summary here. Shout out to Sergeant Joelle Harrell, who happened to be in the area when the shooting took place. She hears the shots. She runs to Pearsall. She gets to him within a minute. What she did is unbelievable. First of all, she's holding Ricky Pearsall up because, you know, he was just shot. She gets a description of the attacker from Pearsall. Another cop arrives on the scene. She tells him, radio it in. Another cop arrives on the scene. She tells them to go call the ambulance for Pearsall. He has two wounds on his body, the wound on his chest and the exit wound in his back. He's obviously bleeding profusely. She takes his shirt and presses it on his chest. And then she needs to do the same on his back. She takes the baseball cap off of her head and presses it on Pearsall's back to try and slow the breathing, or the bleeding, excuse me. In the meantime, Pearsall is obviously upset. He says to her, am I going to die? And she says, no, it's not your time. Just breathe. And he's trying to, you know, calm down and breathe. And there's actually footage of this. You can watch this. Ricky Pearsall walks to the stretcher of the ambulance. It is unbelievable Obviously, he made it to the hospital. He's home now. Things are obviously much, much better than they could have gone and much better than we were worried they were on Saturday night. The whole story is unbelievable.
It doesn't even matter if he doesn't play. Like, that's such a complete non-factor in this conversation. The fact that he's alive is absolutely miraculous. And it makes anything else with the 49ers just pale in comparison. So I apologize for the abrupt segue to this, but from a football standpoint, and thank God Ricky Pearsall is alive and might even play football this year, but Trent Williams still holding out. They haven't seen him. Left tackle, he's the guy that, to me, makes that offense go. He's the standard. He's still, at his age, mid-30s, the best left tackle in the league. I'm beginning to think that maybe we don't see him Monday night. This is dicey for the Niners after going through this hold-in/hold-out with Ayuk.
So he has no guaranteed money left in his deal. And he obviously wants more guaranteed money. And he wants a raise because he's the fourth highest paid left tackle. And he feels like the 49ers have dragged their feet a little bit, which Brandon Ayuk can attest to. And so he's going to make them wait. And don't forget, Nick Bosa signed 4 days before week one last year. I wouldn't be shocked if Trent Williams did the same thing.
So Trent Williams still holding out with the 49ers set to take on the Jets on Monday night on ESPN Monday Night Football. Baseball on ESPN Radio in just about a half hour's time. You've got the Yankees, you got the Rangers, pennant races heating up. Doug Glanville, ESPN Major League Baseball analyst, talks about it with us when we return with Rob Stats-Guerrera. I'm Ken LaVica, in for Freddie and Harry, Labor Day Monday, right here on ESPN Radio.